Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Let me talk to him. I guess you know you made it when they start talking about you, right? Welcome to fame. Yeah. Y'all don't pay me no mind. Gotta get some stuff off my chest.
Young, energetic, famous, but don't really sweat it. Rich enough, fairly hot. So basically, sex is not difficult to get. That ain't my fault, no. Listen, and judge, cause I might take advantage once or twice. People tell me I'm not right, thinking that sex runs my life, but that just ain't it. So let me clear it up for those who have obviously misread the code. Listen to me now.
Now.
Yeah.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Hi, I'm Kerry Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Kerapi Shampoo and Kerapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Kerry Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Kerapi Shampoo and Kerapi Conditioner grows hair. Kerry Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Kerapi, and we thank you. Please register at Kerapi.com and join our Kerapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. Thank you. Okay, here's what I do know, and there's so many folks I think out there who probably don't have the same idea or notion that I have, but it's about success. And my big belief is that I've always said I live in success, and folks have said, Kerry, what does I live in success mean? Well, let me break it down for you. I live in success really means do not wait until, or at least do not think that you have to wait until you're successful. You can actually be successful each day of your life. And what makes you successful is leading the life that you wish to lead. That's what living in success means. And again, you don't have to wait until you're rich to do that. You're rich every day, leading the life that you wish to lead.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
What I've enjoyed doing all my life, for my little girl, I always loved messing with my sisters. How they had beautiful hair. And I always enjoyed doing this.
Kelly Terrell loves making women look and feel good.
I feel good. Now when I do it again, make me pay more.
Mrs. Terrell now only works to keep busy and to satisfy a few longtime customers like her daughter, Inez. She's 99 years old and anxiously awaiting her 100th birthday in November.
And if I give out my birthday to people, you have to pay for it. November 26th.
How old will you be?
100.
Her zeal for life is amazing, and so is her work ethic. WRET checked the state of Tennessee, and they first issued her license to operate on January 30th, 1945. She rents space in a salon now, but once had her own thriving business. She's outlived almost all of her customers.
People my age that I used to buddy-buddy with, I don't have a single one. I was in a bridge club. I'm the only one in the club that's living.
Work is part of her secret to longevity.
I'm not used to just being up in the house. See, I work so long. I've just been around people. So I enjoy being with people and doing something exciting.
Most old people, they're a little dry and droll. I can't deal with that. I got to live. I do the things that make me happy.
Working brings her joy, but she plans to finally retire at the end of the year. But she says, don't expect to find her sitting around the house doing nothing.
I just be waiting on somebody to call and say, Kelly, you dancing? I said, no, what is it? Well, come on over here. We doing so-and-so. And I jump in the car and go, I just want to do something.
Listen all week to the Hair Radio Morning Show to hear details of the return of Academy Award nominee Miss Camille Friend. You guys know her from The Little Mermaid, Wakanda Forever, and so many amazing movies. Now, she's been selected to be our Afrolock Magazine Guest Editor of the Month. Take a listen.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines right here on the All Know Here Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York live. Always make it a great day.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
The problem is, though, is that folk don't know what they got until it's gone. They don't know what it is that you bring to their life until you exit. They don't know how much you be saving them, just spiritually, mentally, emotionally. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand the amount of pressure that you relieve from them and from their life from simply being there, picking up the slack, answering the calls, doing this and doing that. They don't understand that until you stop. And the moment that you stop and you let life go ahead and hit them, then all of a sudden here they come. They running you down. They calling you. They texting you. They trying to do everything up under the sun to finesse their way back into your life. There they go with their sweet voice. Now they sending you the little crazy text messages trying to remind you of how things used to be. I don't care. I don't care. And I don't care. I'm out the door now. I'm outside. I get what y'all say. I'm outside with it. I don't want what I used to want no more. I don't want to be there no more. I'm no longer interested. Your access is denied.
You wake up and your house is a mess and you decide to clean up your house, and doing it makes you feel better. That's a win. You need a pen, a Sharpie, and some post-it notes. Every time I do a live for you guys, for me, that's a win. Because honestly, I get very critical of myself and I just have to like put it aside. So I then take it off of here and I go put it up on my wall where I can see it. Every win you have, you put it on a post-it note and start creating your wall of wins so that you can see what you're accomplishing, so you can see what you're getting done, so you can stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start patting yourself on the back and giving yourself a reward for what you are getting done. Otherwise, you get to the end of the day and you feel like, I just didn't do anything. Because if you've been depressed for 3 days and you get up one day and you decide to make breakfast for your family, that's a win. And you need to be able to see your wins, because your wins will inspire you to keep on winning. Your wins will inspire you to stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start focusing on what you are getting done, because everything starts to align and you start doing more. My Stewie says, go to bed with a plan, wake up with a purpose. And I always say, don't put more than 3 things that you want to accomplish the next day. And as you accomplish them, write them down and put them on your wall of wins. So that when a client says no on a job, or you call and they said they're going to send you a check and you check your mail 2 days later and you still don't have the check, but what did you accomplish? What did you get done?
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and my co-host today is the very great Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the vice president of Heavenly Essence, Inc. Now, they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here today.
And today we also are discussing the topic of hair loss, and we have with us
someone who has been courageously fighting hair loss, and her name is Mary T. And Mary, we want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network today.
Thank you. Glad to be a part. Thank you very much.
Now let's just jump in, Mary. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I've been living in California for the past 40 plus years. I'm originally from Arkansas. I started dealing with hair loss though in California probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, tell us about that. So when you say you were dealing with hair loss, tell us what you mean.
Well, at first I got something like, it was almost like a pimple in the top of my head. As I was combing my hair, I really didn't think anything about it. And it was really sore. And then it was there and then it would go away. And then it didn't bother me for a while. My hair, I didn't notice any changes in my hair or anything of that sort. And then it seemed to occur every 2 or 3 months and then more often. So finally, I start seeing hair loss. I went to the doctors. The doctor, you know, did a diagnosis of me. He had me come back several times. And then he also had me come back several months with a pool of doctors from the Sacramento, Los Angeles area, and I believe he had a couple of doctors from some parts of Texas, too. I felt like I was on display because they was all kind of looking at my scalp, took hair samples to look under the microscope. They also looked at my scalp under the microscope. And it took them, you know, a few weeks to come back to me with the diagnosis said that I had alopecia areata. And they gave me a little bit of information about that, indicated that it could be from straightening comb when I was using straightening comb, which I really didn't use very much, but they said it could be from straightening combs and from perms, a combination. My type hair loss is the, I kind of have a male baldness. It started off real thin and now in the very top, I really kind of have no hair, and it's gotten very thin around the edges. So I kind of got a little depressed, discouraged. So at one point, I just shaved it all off to kind of see what would happen. The edges came back, you know, but the top where it had came, where I lost the hair, did not come back. I was also instructed by a hairdresser at the time that was taking care of my hair to use Nioxin shampoo and conditioner, and that was supposed to be really good. But I think it was good from what I understand if the hair loss wasn't as severe as mine. And, of course, I mean, it felt good to the scalp, but it really did not bring any of my hair back, do anything. That point, I start using wraps and different things for the hair because I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with wigs and wraps, but it got to the point that I lost so much hair. I went to a place that specialized in cancer and alopecia patients to look at wigs, and then they introduced me to some wigs that was soft to the touch of the skin versus, you know, really some of the wigs are really sticky, kind of stick to your skin and real itchy. So I ran those and I got a little bit more comfortable. And I'm comfortable with them, but it would be nice if I had hair, but I don't think that that's going to happen at this point because it's been so long and I keep losing hair. Once in a while now, the pimples will come back, not that often, maybe once every 2-3 months or so, I may get that, and it's very sensitive for me to touch my head or comb it. I still shampoo my hair, condition it every other day because I work out and I sweat a lot, so I still want to make sure
that it's clean. Everybody know that you're still being treated, correct? Right. This is ongoing treatment for you.
Yes, It is, but nothing is happening, really.
Okay. I understand. Well, listen, we want to, and first of all, thank you again, Mary, for being with us and telling your story today on the Hair Radio Show. And we want to remind the folks out there who are listening right now to what you're talking about, and just remind everyone to certainly see your own physician so that if you are thinking that you have hair loss on any level, certainly you want to seek out and speak with your own physician so you can be properly treated. Now,
yes.
As we speak in general terms about this, this has been just something that is devastated. The doctor was on earlier with us and explained to us a little bit about what you're suffering with and some of the causes of hair loss. And I hear what you're saying. It sounds like a little bit of despair that, you know, you've been dealing with this for a long time and you haven't necessarily seen a whole lot of success in trying to treat it, so to speak. But from what I understand, that they're constantly researching. And Darlene, what would you say to that? If that's what the doctor said. They're constantly doing research, and you just kind of never know where it's going to lead. And I'm believing
yes.
that, you know, this
yes,
will be something that will be treated.
Yeah,
with more
like
success.
Dr. Amerson had shared with us that they are, you know, conducting research on. Mary, I'm sure you've seen the commercials with the eyelash, where the eyelashes, where they use a certain type of medication in order to grow the eyelashes. She said that they're doing research on that, of using that product in order to regenerate the hair growth. So it's not to say that this is something that may be happening down the road, but it may be an option.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
or it could lead to something
sensitive.
Else.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because if it grows the eyelids are very sensitive. So.
Right. Exactly. So, they're.
Well, Mary.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, darling. Thank you. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask Mary. Mary, has this affected, or how has it affected your home life, like, say, in the way that you may be relating to your family? Does it affect that at all?
You know, in the beginning it did, but actually my daughters know about my hair loss, but my sons don't know about my hair loss. I have not shared that with them. So when they come over, they're all adults. When they come over, they see me with either a wrap or a wig on, they ask no questions. They have no clue about my hair loss. My daughters and my husband do. But
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. My sons are kind of sensitive, so I'm not sure how they would react. So I have not even shared that with them.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I, you know, over the years we've been doing a hair radio show since 1995. And I remember I had a caller once who said that she had been wearing a weave style, and her husband had been married for 8 years. I just never forgot this, that they had been married for 8 years, and her husband didn't know that she had a weave. And I,
wow.
You know, at the time I thought it was incredulous. But my goodness, I'm starting to think, you know, wow. It's just reminds me of that.
Yeah, my husband knew right away. Him and I talked about it, and I shared that with him right away. And actually, he tried to make me feel very comfortable. He said, well, as you lose it, he said, if you lose your hair, I'll shave my head. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, I love it.
So he made me very comfortable after a while with that. I just have not shared it with my sons.
And you know, and it may be something that may not, you know, I don't know what the answer is to that, if it's even necessary to do so. I mean, you know what's best, of course, for your situation, and you know. But it's just, it's just a big battle, and it sounds like you're doing a great job in dealing with this. You've been dealing with this for a long time, so our heads are.
Right. The reason I have not shared it with them is because I think they would probably relate it to cancer. They would probably get really upset. And even though, you know, it's not cancer, I've seen their reaction to certain things. I remember when their dad got hurt in a car, they was very sensitive to that with his hip, and they thought he was going to have to wear this platform shoe forever, and they had this look on their face and saying, is he going to have to wear this shoe, even though he was well and looked well? So I thought, I don't want to share this with them and have them thinking, okay, Mom, she's not sharing everything with me. She's just not saying, and that she, you know, may have something that's not curable, which, I mean, you know, it's not curable, but I don't know if it's yes or not, but, you know, it's not like cancer that would eat you at this point, as far as I know. So that's why I have not shared it with my boys. My girls are more open and sensitive that they understand. And not that the boys don't understand, they're very educated, but I'm not comfortable at sharing it with them at this point.
I understand. Well, listen, we want to, first of all, take a moment to thank you for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show and sharing your story, you know, with us today. And
thank
we
you
want
for
to
having
certainly
me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we certainly want to encourage all of the guys, all of you out there who are listening to the Hair Radio Show right now to, of course, you know, check with your doctor if you feel that you're experiencing any type of hair loss. And on the subject, of course, you want to check more into it and keep it right here at Hair Radio, because we're going to be exploring a lot more of this as we go forward very, very soon. So, Darlene, I want to thank you for being with us and helping us to co-host.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, and I just wanted to add, Mary's case is just exceptional for the physician to run so many series of tests and in order to diagnose her condition. I mean, that's kind of unheard of for so many physicians to be present to actually diagnose this. I mean, because when I was experiencing hair thinning, I mean, I was in the doctor's office 15 minutes and I was out. So that is truly a blessing.
Yes, I felt very lucky about that. And that week that they came back, they happened to have all these pool of doctors, and they was having some kind of conference, and they asked me if I felt comfortable because that is something that they was in the process of researching. And I said, yes. So I took off work. At the time, I was working. I'm now retired. And I took off work, and I spent 2 hours there with him.
Wow.
Looking at my hair, scalp, and all of that.
Wow.
Well, listen, I want to take a moment to thank you both for being part of this today. And this just begins to kind of lift the first layer, if you will, on hair loss. And again, we want you out there to stay with us at Hair Radio. We'll be back. We'll be back. Stay with us. Thank you.
It's 2 thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
To the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Carrie.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago. And we have eight arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to a culture change, reality-based organizational change. And then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations, and I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity, and then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in early 1800s. and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799. French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public. And also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute, but when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman. One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into, but one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that. I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything, you really do. And you outline it there, you put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education. And you have, you know, just some great things historical content, you know, reference. And then my other part of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection, so of artifacts and things that, you know, that document the African American experience or the African experience, I guess, if you were on some level. So, you know, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So, and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into, or through black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved, because I understand that you're from Canada, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, what
so
happened is I ended up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada, and I left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America, long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000-6,000 miles on my thumb. Pretty much all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life, that really caused me to revisit, you know, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day. And
How old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was actually about 17.
Really?
I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that
point. Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
so what is the chaplain, for those of us who don't know? Obviously, we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like, how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys, is not there to take but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players, because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids, their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, you know, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived 6 coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is of course, you can imagine, when I was 25 years of age when this happened, and my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, "You mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me." And so it was earning their respect. But I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and the sincerity of my heart by asking questions. And it's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world. So I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working, doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male growing up, and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself and about history. And it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with The Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Did you know that The Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
All right, we're back live. It is mid-show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is about 7 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock if you're out in the Central time zone. It is good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. It's October 3rd of 2023. It's our broadcast show number 901. Broadcast show number 901. Let me see if I can get to the line my co-star, Miss Nicole Marie, all the way from Water Valley, Mississippi. Nicole Marie, are you there? Happy mid-show to you.
Good morning. And happy mid-show. Mm-hmm. Happy mid-show. Happy Tuesday.
Okay.
Happy October. All of the above.
It's a long list of things to check off. Many boxes today. Yes, I hope
I sound okay.
I'm using a little bit of a different mic setup here this morning. As always, Tuesdays can be challenging. But yeah, I think everything is rolling along as long as you can hear me.
Yes. I can hear you.
Yeah, first
loud
of all,
and clear.
Great. Good. Yeah, first of all, let me just first officially welcome everybody to really what amounts to about 99 more shows to go before we hit the 1,000th mark.
1,000.
And so it's going to be exciting. It's going to be very interesting.
Exciting now. Yes.
Yeah, I think so as well. And this morning it's been kind of a subdued Tuesday, but it's been a great Tuesday, I really have to say. Dug into our vault and pulled out some classic interviews and some classic hair loss talk and all that. Wonderful,
my
good
favorite
stuff.
Guest, Dr. Freeman.
Oh, yes, Dr. Freeman. And we're going to have on more Dr. Freeman in our third hour this morning. So there'll be some more Dr. Freeman rolling around there. I want to just touch base on everything because we have so much going on. And
I thought
about it, you know, Nicole Marie, I sometimes, we're going to talk, first of all, let me just officially, let's cover the event from Friday, the historic, monumental hitting of the 900th mark. First of all, what are your thoughts on this whole thing and how we handled the show and so forth? What goes through the mind of Nicole Marie, Queen of the Mornings, and latest addition
to
our show, by the way?
Well, say, what a milestone it was to hit the 900th episode of the show. I mean, just amazing. And it's just a wonderful opportunity. We had, you know, so many people that just, you know, send their congratulations and, you know, come on and just celebrate. It was a celebration of just hitting 900 episodes. And I'm just so honored and so excited about just being a part of it. I mean, I just love it. I love our team and just what we do every day, just changing lives, changing people's lives, touching people, encouraging people, inspiring people, informing people. It's just an amazing opportunity, and I'm just so thankful to be here to be able to do this.
Yes, me too. And that is the perfect segue, because as we roll into our next 100, literally just 99 more to go,
right.
And we hit the 1,000th mark, I'm reminded that Hair Radio, we've been a very important part of folks' lives. We really have. You know, believe it or not, if you really look back at it, there have been many folks who've literally grown up listening to the Hair Radio show. They've grown up listening to this broadcast. Others who started their careers are actually able to retire now. That's how long we've been around. And so we are here a long time, and we are here and committed to doing a good show.
Exactly.
And I think everybody, and I want to thank all the folks who called in on Friday to be part of our 900th celebration. I want to thank everybody who has helped us to get here. It was a long journey. And I'm often reminded, and I start kind of looking at things and just having a wider perspective and view of things. So I just want to say thank you and cheers.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Now, I do want to turn to Afrolock Magazine for a quick moment. We released the new cover for October. It is out across social media. It's on our website at afrolockmagazine.com. I'm super proud of this issue. It is about family and family again.
Yes.
And it kind of covers the scope of course, the Black family, education, all kinds of things that are important to us as our community. Yeah, within our community.
Right.
And also a little bit out.
It's our core.
It's,
the family is the core, Mary. That's it.
It is the core, like the apple. Doesn't grow without the core. And so, so that's what we are and what we've done with Afrolock Magazine for October. So I just wanted to say thank you guys for helping me to, you know, get be fired for the October issue. We're also, I'm working ahead, as you guys know I do, on the holiday issue, which will be the next one that's released. So that'll be out soon as well.
The holidays.
So we're going to
right
be putting
around the
all
corner.
That in. Oh, yeah.
Be here before you know it.
And also, exactly. And I want to let folks know we'll be building. I am working on big projects is really building our studio some kind of way so we can have folks into New York and really do quite a bit right here to make sure, you know, a one-stop shop so we can get them on to the Hair Radio Morning Show, on our podcast, you know, do video production, do editing of those videos, do audio production. We can roll out content to the Salon TV Network, to Afrolock Magazine, and, of course, the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're working on all of those things. They never leave us alone.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. A little bit of everything. Now, I wanted to ask you some questions, Nicole Marie. You know, because I started, I don't know, what do you think? Now, because sometimes I think business and being nice mixed? Can you be nice and be in business? And I would love to know your thoughts.
I believe that you can be nice. I think you should be nice. But in that, it's remaining professional. You can be very nice, be tactful and everything, and be professional. That's what it's all about, being a professional. And so I think that, yes, you can.
Yeah.
All of that ties in together. Because sometimes people try and take your kindness for weakness. However,
what I'm getting to, but go ahead. Yeah.
You can approach a situation in a tactful way, in a professional way, still being nice and still get your point across. So I would say yes.
Okay. I like the way that you phrase that. And the reason I say
what
is because, you know, well, I appreciate that, that you asked. What I believe is that I've tried. I really have. I tried to be nice. And it's not even so much a trying to be nice. It's a part of your DNA or it's not.
Right.
And for
right.
me, I try to just remember in business, and I try to treat folks with respect. But I'll tell you something,
right.
Nicole Marie, I feel like quite often that folks take your kindness for weakness. They take advantage.
Mm.
You cannot
right.
be nice. I try to be nice. And I'm the one who ends up with the short end of the stick.
Okay. I understand that.
And quite frankly, I'm sick of it. And I really don't want to ever change. But I am not stupid. I am not an
mm-hmm.
idiot. And I don't like folks who take advantage. And even if I get the whiff that you're taking advantage of me, it's not a good day.
Right.
And so I just have to say I'm not pleased at stuff like that. I try to be friendly. I try to be open and, you know,
right.
almost to my own detriment.
Hmm.
And so, no, I've learned. you can't be nice. You can't even be nice. You can't try to be friendly and upfront with people because folks don't know how to. They can't even receive you being upfront. Now listen, I can be too this slick if that was my agenda.
But that's not your agenda.
That's
not
my agenda. I don't believe in taking advantage. Not ever is it a part of me. Nor is it.
But
it's not
so
my
many
character.
People do.
It's not how it's raised. Well, I see why
they
do.
And then do things like you don't even see them.
Because listen, I see why folks in business, especially in our community, take advantage of people. I almost can see it because you cannot be nice. You can't. Folks are trying to take advantage of you. I've got other folks, you know, I've got a couple of folks. Listen, let me just tell you, folks, if you're going to be working with us, you got to get it together. And I mean, you need to get it together now. I really mean that. Because I will move on. Don't think that we're ever in a position where I cannot move. I know how to move on real well.
Oh, you certainly do. And will.
And will. Trust me. So, you know, I'm kind of a little dismayed at folks. I really am. So let me just say.
People that are going to try that, Carrie, and with people like that, yes, you have to put them in the place and move on and do what you have to do. However,
yes, indeed. And you got to
just cut them off. If they can't handle it, cut them off.
cut them off. But yeah, I'll tell you something else. You know, it's difficult because you try to, you know, you're a good person or you would like to think you are.
Right.
And
right.
So, but what happens is folks kind of put you on the back burner. When I started noticing folks Because I've had folks who have assured us and let me think that, you know, they got your back and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, what do you have? Nothing.
Bunch of lip service.
And I've seen it, and I've seen it before, and I kind of was very tough on folks who presented themselves that way. And then to come across that kind of thing, and I said, no, this is, we're going to be, we're going to, let me tell you something. I know how to win.
You certainly do, Carrie.
And that's all I can say about that. So, folks, if you're planning to get to the finish line with our company, get it together.
Quick, fast, and in
get
a hurry.
And that's all I'm going to say on that note. And you know who you are. So that's that. Nicole Marie, just wanted to say thank you again. I appreciate your support. I really do. It's meant a lot. And being one of these folks who is a Salon TV Network aficionado now and part of the big thing and what we're doing. So really good stuff. And just, you know, we're kind of hanging on in there.
We are.
Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. It really
October
is around and saw exactly that October was already
time
here.
Is moving.
It's like
this
year has literally zoomed by. Our next issue of AfroLock is a holiday issue. So that's November, December. And so are you guys one of those who have the big Halloween and then Thanksgiving? Like, I saw there were Christmas TV commercials already on.
Yes, that's about
that
already. Well, let me just say that we don't celebrate Halloween. However, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, we, you know, get together with family and celebrate and have a good time. And mostly for Thanksgiving is you know, pretty nice, but because still have, one young daughter, she's 8. The other ones are their teenagers, so not so much with them. You know, they don't really care about the hoopla. But my youngest daughter, you know, we have several trees that we put up. We put decorations up. We have music playing. We watch the Christmas movies and just make it very festive.
Good. I think that's really cool. Let me say this, though. When it comes to Halloween, I don't know, for me, if the question is, do I celebrate it? I don't know that I'm, you know, an older man. I don't really celebrate Halloween in that way.
Right.
But I'm not against celebrating it. Because it was a big part. I have great memories associated with Halloween, and I wouldn't trade those memories for anything in the world.
Right.
My family, we didn't grow up as part of a cult, and we don't care, about real ghosts and goblins and all that kind of crazy thing. But to me, it's about sparking your imagination. And also having an experience that you're just not going to get again. And children, I don't know. I think that our lives are, you know, the children's lives are so short. We don't have, they're not kids too long. So every single experience I can pass along, I'm happy to do so. And I don't know. I used to feel sorry for the kids who didn't celebrate Christmas. I'm sorry. but everybody to each his own. Me, I don't really, I don't take it that seriously. But again, to each his own. For us, I absolutely would be remiss if I don't mention Halloween in our issue of the magazine or to folks.
Right.
Who, you know, the kids who go dressing up. again, it was a big part of my childhood. I reflect back on that time in a great way. I don't look at myself as joining a cult or believing in other gods and worshiping them. None of that. And I hope that we can. But to those who do, you know, I take my hat off to other folks. Whatever you do that gets you through the day is up to you. But for me, no, I'm completely not someone who supports things that are against our, you know, but again, it's having, you know, where, you know, having that little bit of, you know, latitude with something. It's not like this for me. And again, it's just one day. And I remember going out in the evenings and going trick-or-treating and all of that wonderful good stuff. So coming up at the end of this month, I think we have our, we'll have our radio treat, trick-or-treat day, whatever that is. I think that's actually on a Tuesday. So we will, so we'll definitely do something. What we'll do, I don't quite know yet, for those who do celebrate and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll acknowledge things and keep it moving. I think we also have Columbus. Yeah, which is, what is it, the Aborigines, I think they're calling it now, that they, because of the this May with the Christopher Columbus, who didn't technically discover America and so forth.
Right.
So I think not to mention how the folks who were treated, who were already here. But that's a whole nother story. We'll be here till next week talking about that one. So just wanted to kind of check in with you guys. You know, we do live talk here, and we talk the talk and walk the walk. Nicole Marie, I just want to say thank you for always doing a great job. You help to inspire us every single day. You bring hope our way. And it's time to get into some HOD, I call it, hope of the day. So what can you share with us today and remind everybody what it's all about?
Well, thank you, Carrie. First of all, hope is so very, very important to each and every one of us in our lives because it gives our lives meaning. And it's that belief that our future can be better than our past. And we hold on to that hope, just having that positive expectation that change can and will occur in our lives. And so every day I share an inspirational way from a book called High Hopes, just to encourage, inspire, and just lift all of our spirits. So the book is, again, is called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay, and I want to share the hope of the day for this terrific Tuesday for all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, and it is carry happiness. Share the warmth of your happiness. Spread your smile. It's your gift. You work for it. You own it. Give it freely. Others will reciprocate. Back to you, Carrie.
Oh, that was a short one. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Patrick's book, you know, because it, carrying happiness, and boy, I could use a dose of that this morning. Carrying happiness with you each day, and I so appreciate that. It really is inspiring. Yeah, share your smile. Remember that old saying where it says your smile really is your business card?
Right.
Remember all
it
of
is.
That kind of talk? It's true. It really is your business card.
Right.
And when you are doing a business like this, it's about the attitude, having a positive attitude.
Your attitude
is really what carries you all the way.
Right.
It's your attitude. That is going to determine how far you go. I remember in the airline business, we used to have the old saying, your attitude determines your altitude.
Altitude. And that is very true.
Yeah.
Very, very
so that's
true.
What I kind of remember. Yeah, so really good stuff. Now, coming up, Nicole Marie, thank you. Great job. And I got to ask you, what does it mean to you about that, carrying happiness each day? How do you do it, Nicole Marie?
Well, I feel that it's very important. I think that your smile is your business card, it's you. Your smile is infectious. And just by, you don't have to know someone. You can be just walking down the street. If you're smiling, if you're speaking to somebody, it's infectious. And you don't know whose lives you're affecting. Maybe somebody really needed that smile today. Maybe somebody really needed that hello, that morning today. You never know. But you are affecting other people with your smile, your attitude, just the way you carry yourself. It's infectious towards other people, and it's very, very important. So that's what I try to do every day, and not just to infect other people, if you will, but that's just me. That's how I make it, even especially on days when I'm not really feeling my best, I may not be feeling well, but guess what? When I still have that smile, when I'm still talking to people, that makes me feel better. So when you feel good, you can make other people feel good.
Yeah, it's not easy to do that, but Nicole Marie is right. You know, spread the joy.
Yes.
Spread the joy.
Time you never know who lies
so
you're touching.
Exactly, and we're here for such a short time.
Exactly.
We're here for such a short time, so let's remember that. Well, Nicole Marie, I am so excited. I really am to ask you to, you know, be part of this because it's really what's next. Folks ask me, Carrie, what are you going to do next? You've reached 900 shows.
900.
Yeah.
Wow.
Over 3,000 guests. You've been on the show literally day in and day out on the job. And I've just got to say thank you. I really do. And before we go, before we finish with our host chat this morning, I just want to say, Nicole Marie, this past weekend, I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amount of rain that we received in New York. Unprecedented.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we received a lot. Let me give you just so that you guys outside of New York City can kind of understand what I'm talking about. On the list here in New York of the wettest Septembers ever, a few days back, we were in 11th place on that list of the wettest Septembers because we've received a lot of rain in September. Well, boy, oh, boy, this past weekend, just a few days ago, we literally moved up from 11th place on that list to number 2 in one day.
Oh, wow.
In one day. I mean, in one day, literally. In one day. How do you move up from 11th place to number 2?
That's a lot of rain.
In one day. That's a lot of rain. It was raining here like I have never seen so much water. I mean, boy, oh, boy. I didn't even know the sky had that much water. So for days and days, yesterday the sun finally returned here in New York, and it'll be sunny for the next few days. So we're really excited about that in the you know, kind of seasonal, a little bit above season in terms of
you
temperature.
You haven't seen rain
so
in some days.
Wow. Well, we got it up here. We'll be sending it back your way. Listen, folks, tomorrow on the Hair Radio Morning Show, again, we're back. We're just going to keep rolling forward with show number 902 tomorrow. We've got some special guests who'll be joining us. We have added some extra content and topics and all of that. We invite you to visit us on our website at afrolockmagazine.com. Nicole Marie, we're going to take a little bit of a music break. We've got a lot more. We're literally at the halfway point in today's broadcast. So stay with us.
Great.
I love that. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have with us guests that you kind of just recently were introduced to, and I wanted them to come back to the show to tell us a little bit more. And I've got to say, first of all, Takiya, you know, just having you and Cammie on the show, we got so much wonderful response about this incredible book. And her being such a wonderful author. So real good excitement. I want to get you guys back on and talk a little bit more. So welcome back to the show for both of you this morning. Welcome back.
Thank you. We are excited to be here.
Awesome. Okay, I want to jump right on with Cammie and Cammie's Spa Party, which is an incredible book. Again, let's remind everybody first. Cammie, you're what, about 11 years old or so?
Yes, I'm 11.
11. And here you are, a published author. How does that feel?
It feels good.
Okay. Well, listen, tell us a little bit about what Cammie's Spot Party is all about.
Cammie's Spot Party is a book that I created when I was 7 years old because at the time my mom owned a hair salon and kids were like really, 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 really scared to go to the salon. So with like the kids being very scared, like my mom brought up the idea of why not making a book about it. And at the time I was just bored, so I said sure. And then at the age of 6 I was writing, and then at the age of 7 we had the book published.
Wow. And how did that make you feel?
It felt good that I was a young person making books.
Yes. And I've got to ask you, Cammie, how about the kids at your school? How did they feel about you having a book called Cammie's Spot Party? How did they feel about that?
I didn't tell them.
What? Okay. Not at first. Yes, Cammie, you didn't mention it to them at first?
No. I didn't mention it because I don't know why, but I just didn't want to.
Okay. Okay.
But I did tell them. I told my friend today that I create my friend. Her name's Elena, and we go to school together. And she sits next to me in ELA. And I had told her that I created a book.
And what was her response?
She said, oh, that's nice. And then we had a shush because we had to go back to class.
I'm loving this. Okay, listen, if you guys have just joined us out there, you're listening to an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And I have a very, very special guest who was recently with us, and I'm so happy to have her back on the show. We're talking about Cammie Love. Now, she is the author of this incredible book. Now, let me just say, she's 11 years old and is already a published author. The book is called Cammie's Spa Party. So, Cammie, I know you let in a little bit with what it's about. Kind of remind everybody again a little bit what Cammie's Spa Party is all about.
Cammie's Spa Party is about telling kids and letting kids know that it's not that bad to be able to get your hair done. Getting your hair washed is fine. And you get to get, if you have germs in your hair, you get to get the germs out. And it's just a lot of fun about the book that I loved about it. And then, I would introduce it to all my friends, and they would be like, yeah, this is really cool. I used to be scared to go to the hair salon, and it's kind of making it better, and I'm getting more comfortable with having to go get my hair done.
Wow. And when you look at the wonderful pictures, it's so beautiful to see just, from folks that look like my family, it looks amazing, the cover. I love it. Great artwork. Really well done. Again, Cammie's Spot Party. Yes, Cammie. So now, are you going to be writing more books?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to share anything, any idea that you might have already, or you want to wait and tell us a little later?
I'll tell you guys now a little bit of it. A few years ago, I was thinking of writing a book about denim because I was watching Lila Poles, I think it was, on YouTube when she was, famous.
Okay.
And when Vine was famous as well, it was, a funny laughing video thing on YouTube. And whenever that was famous, I was like, I want, because she had made a skit of Denim Girl, which was, a superhero, and the superhero did everything in denim. So I was thinking of making a book about that. And then since a few years ago, and my logo for, my book has always been unicorns because when I made the book, my favorite colors were pink and purple. But since I made that book, my favorite colors have changed a lot from, going through clear, white, black, red, blue, green, pink, hot pink, white, different colors. My favorite color has never really changed from red since I made that book.
Wow.
So probably going to change up the ideas of making a unicorn book and making a girl book because, I'm a little bit older now.
Well, it's and it sounds like it. Okay. Well, first of all, I have to say thank you for just taking the time to be a guest on our show. And I know you always shout out your mom and dad, your siblings, your brothers, you know, so thank you so much for just doing what you're doing and keep on being a writer and just all that you're doing out there and with all the books and just more about Cammy Spa Party. I can't wait to see what else is next. All right.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And thank you. Okay. Now, hold it. I've got to talk to Takiya Smith. Takiya, good morning again. The mom of Cammy. Yes.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. First of all, it's great to have you back on the show. That's number one, to have both you and Cammy on the show again, because this is really important. I really don't know too many, like, young folks who are published authors. I don't know too many adults who are. So this is big, big news, big things here. So how does that make you feel that it's received so well?
It makes me feel really good. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
She just did her book donation for the backpack drive. And
wow.
So the kids are writing and saying thank you for the book. My niece got the workbook and the reading book, and that was her first time getting it. So she was really excited.
Nice.
She told her mom, need more of these workbooks. So her mom's like, okay, we have to order more. Give me a few days and we'll get some more ordered. So I'm excited that the kids are enjoying the work that she puts in.
Absolutely. Well, also, we can kind of tell now, you're a licensed cosmetologist. And that's kind of what was, that was the impression that you guys made, like you made on Cammy when she was younger and would come to the shop. So, which inspired the book. So really good stuff. And tell us about your career in cosmetology. What inspired you to become a cosmetologist?
Well, I went to cosmetology school in high school, and it was because I wanted to learn how to do my own hair. I had very curly hair, and it was difficult to maintain. So when I was about probably 11 or 12, my mom relaxed it, and then I was like, okay, let's figure this out. So trying to get it back to its natural and then just wearing it in a natural state. I had to learn how to do it and maintain it myself. So that's why I went to cosmetology school.
Wow.
I loved that. I enjoyed my high school years in cosmetology and everything. And then when I became a licensed cosmetologist, I decided that I wanted to give back to the youth. So that's when I opened up Rurally Pampered Kids Spa, which was the children's hair salon that Cammy talks about in her books. And that was such a fun experience, just being around the children and getting to be their first hair salon visit and, styling their hair, asking questions about their own.
Well, this can be a little traumatizing at first for some.
Yes.
You know, it's a big deal. I remember going to the barbershop for my first cut, and I remember my brother teasing me, one of my older brothers. So I know it can stay with you for a long time. So this wonderful book by Cammy makes it a little bit easier. So it really, really, Cammy Spa Party. Okay. Well, so what is this like having an author in the family?
It's awesome to have her in the family. I'm also an author. It kind of works hand in hand.
Get out of here. I don't think we talked about that. Well, you've got to tell us a little bit about your book.
My book is called Pendulum of a Mother's Love, and it's about the relationship between mothers and daughters. And we talked, me and my mom are best friends, and whenever we would go out places, because we worked together for like 15 years, but whenever we would go out to places, people were like, oh, I wish me and my mom were that close, or, you know, I wish I could do this with my mom. So I gathered a digital author to write about their relationship with their mother and how it started, how it ended. Some of the mothers were no longer here with us.
Right.
They discussed their experiences and how they would, things that they would want to do with their mother if they still had the opportunity. And that book is inspiring those that still have their mother here with them that may not get along with them to be able to sit down and have at least a decent conversation and kind of mend the fences, because we need so much more positive relationships between mothers and daughters out here today.
Wow. Well, I'm loving it. I really am. And I have to tell you, we're going to have to talk more about your wonderful book as well right here on the show and give some tips on kind of mending those friendships and actually in the case of the book, the relationships. I've got to say, because this is something that I've wanted to cover on the show as well, because I think that this is a great germ of an idea. It really is. And it's so needed. Oh, boy, is it needed. So, yeah. Now, so they can get your book where? Where can we get copies of this in your book?
Online on my website. It's authortakia.mystrikingly.com. So that's HTTPS, authortakia.mystrikingly.com.
Okay. And we're going to have to get things set up for you right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show as
Absolutely.
Well. Yeah. Okay. I'm so excited, Takia. I really am. So now what do you hope is next for both of you and for Cammy as well?
What do you think? I'm trying to, well, what's next for me, I believe, is doing more of the hair skills. There may be some things unwrapped soon, so I'm hoping to get those things out in the air soon. And then
awesome.
For Cammy, I want her to finish her next book project. I wanted her, or I'm trying to convince her, to do something with military dependents, so we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Well, I can't wait for all of this. I really can't. And this, I feel, is just the beginning. So you're getting used to finding your way around the corridors at radio.
Yeah.
Any early thoughts you want to share with everybody today? We'll put you on the spot.
Of the mission and the goal of Hair Radio, because it's not like when I was coming up in the cosmetology world, there weren't a lot of avenues out there that I knew of. So this is really good.
Awesome.
So I'm excited to see how it goes and continues to grow.
Absolutely. Well, listen, and just you bringing what you have to the table is going to just help us as well to accomplish everything. So I'm really, really excited. And you guys are going to be hearing a whole lot more from Takia right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show real soon as well. So, yes, as well as Cammy. So we've got you. Now, I always like to make sure that we represent everybody in the whole family. So tell us, because you've got a whole family there to support Cammy as well. So tell us a little bit more about everybody else.
Yeah, so I have a husband. He's an Army veteran. We've been married for...
Shout out, yes, to the Army vets. Okay.
Yes, yes. We've been married for 10 years. We have a 18-year-old son off in college. We have a 14-year-old son who's dabbling in writing a little bit. We'll see what comes of that.
Oh, okay. And writing, like, books as well, or like lyrics and songs and things like that, or poetry?
So he wrote a book, and he did a workbook this summer through his the writing camp. And
wow.
He's like, Mommy, I don't know. You know, he's 14, so he's a teenager now. And so
he's
so comfortable with release.
Right. Well, I love all of this. That is so nice. Well, this is why, you know, to me, it's a whole family of creatives. You know, I've heard what everybody's got. Yeah, that's awesome. So good stuff. Okay, well, you've got it together, Takia.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've got it together. And I love hearing this. I really do. So we are just, you know, just a big old welcome. And I want to take a moment. You're going to be working closely with us at the Hair Radio Morning Show. They're going to be hearing a lot more. You've got Cammy's got a whole commercial coming soon on the show. You will be with us and helping to just, you know, move everything forward, and one of our therapy experts in all that we're doing. So just welcome. We give you a big old Hair Radio Morning Show welcome. And that's
so
on behalf
much.
Of myself and, of course, Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins and Blue and the entire crew. So a big old welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You've got it.
For more to come.
Okay. Yeah, we feel the same way. All right. Thank you so much. Okay, folks, we'll be right back. Takia, thank you, and thank Cammy. Thank you guys so very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, you got it. All right, Keisha. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
Keisha
hey,
McAllister.
Hey.
All right. I added another hey for you. to the Hair Radio Morning Show, all the way from Fairfield, California, up north.
Yes.
So
yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today on
oh,
the show. But
okay.
first, I have to tell you, Keisha McAllister, I'm raising my hand because today is all about products and being a product junkie. How to know,
right.
First of all, how to recognize if you are a product junkie and then what we can do about that. And so
okay.
I'm here with an amazing licensed cosmetologist. You guys know that that Keisha she comes to us from all the way from the West Coast. So this is really great. I'm here in Brooklyn, New York, and just in case today's your first time tuning in. So Keisha, let's start at the top of this, okay? First of all, a product junkie. Now, I believe, and you tell me, I believe a product junkie is someone who excessively has to have every hair product ever that they've ever come across in their life. And they probably still have these and never, ever toss them out, even after they've long, the efficacy has long expired. So, you know, what can you tell us, you know, about this? First, what is the correct way to consider a product junkie, or to say or describe what a product junkie is, or who a product junkie might be?
Well, I think, Carrie, that you were actually on the right road.
Awesome.
It's usually someone who has an excessive amount of hair products or beauty products or
right.
any type of products, anything that
sure.
is probably kept under two or three of your bathroom sinks and in your hallway closet, not to mention something your auntie or your grandmother had, probably some Ultra Sheen or some bergamot grease
wow.
somewhere.
Okay.
But,
wow.
And those types of products, especially hair grease, those last a little while.
Oh,
but some of these people are just collecting over and over and over. And the bad part mm-hmm. about it is that, you know, when it's a trend for something that is, that works well, I think that's good. But for something that you're just spending your money on excessively that is not even helping your hair, then you need to take a look and pay attention to what's going on. Because if your hair, anything that
you
are purchasing,
yeah. right.
then it's time to, you know, take a, you know, figure something out.
You know, I love what you said, you know, Keisha, because it might be emblematic of something else that's going on. And, you know, I joke around about it and all this, but there may be something that, you know, they say when folks are shopaholics and things, that it's filling a void. And it very much could be something in that way. But we're going to take a look. We're going to peel back the layers today, literally, on the show, because first, you know, I think it's having a healthy relationship with the hair products. And to me, that emanates out of having a good relationship with your hairstylist. So if you
yeah.
have a good relationship with your hairstylist, they are directing you in terms of what to do when it comes to the after the visit, after the shop care or at home type follow-up care or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it. And I think out of that, they will direct you what products and things that can, you know, supplement whatever they have asked you to do. And I think that that's, I think that's the way, the healthy way to look at it. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that is a healthy way to look at it. But we have to consider that we are in the internet era. Everything is online. So they'll see the product before they actually meet with a professional.
Uh-huh.
You also have to consider that there are people looking for an answer for something that may be going wrong with their hair. They could be experiencing, like you said, traction alopecia or hair loss from something else. It could be a medical issue. It could be medication. It could be a number of things that are going on. And this is why it's important to have a beauty professional that you trust, and also have that professional who is, in turn, has a relationship with a doctor or someone who can help you, you know, further.
Exactly. And there are trichologists, too. I mean, just to be fair to the trichologists who are out there and wish to and specialize in hair loss and all that, I don't have a problem with that as long as there is no, you know, I have a lot of some very specific instruction that I say when you're working with in tandem with the trichologist. And we'll talk about that and some of these other the hair practitioners and all that. We're going to have a whole show on that and how to break it down on and what you should be looking with and what how far folks should go. So with these different hair professionals. And so we're going to talk about that. And, we're going to be getting to the nitty-gritty on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I can promise you that.
Definitely,
and so I'm excited.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this is why it's so important, you know, Keisha, that we talk about these things. It really is. Now,
it really is.
You know, because, you know, on the fun side, everybody, every time that we go to a hair show, every time we buy everybody's, I can barely make it from one table to the next. I am picking up products right and left. And I say for myself, but I also think for other people. I'm shopping for other people. And then I end up keeping it. So that's one of the big things. So that's why I've acquired so many different products. And I just love to keep them. I love the bottles. I love the little jars. I love all of that. So I'm here for all of that. So that's what, you know, so that's my thing. I'll have to get some, you know, we'll have to call the hair psychologist in, okay, to kind of work us through that and work out that. So what are some of the things? Now, you being a professional, do you recognize, first of all, is it even possible for a professional hairstylist to be a product junkie?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Really?
Especially, definitely. Especially if it's something that we've found that not only works, but it smells good. It doesn't leave a residue on the hair. I mean, you know, it has all these important components.
Right.
And when we find it, we want to use it, and we want to use it over and over and over. And I have to admit that I every now and then I have to go through my own inventory and get rid of things. Especially tools. Yeah, it's so easy to have tools. At one point, I was working out of three salons, and I had tools for every salon, right? And I did, you know, hair shows and fashion shows and things like that. So I had a couple of kids.
You were
well.
Coming or going.
You know what? I didn't. I just did it, and I'm paying for it now as I'm older. But, you know, I'm grateful that I had the time. So it's very easy as a stylist to be a product junkie. Very easy.
Wow.
I found that it's hard for me to get rid of color. Yeah. I have a lot of color still.
You know, everybody has their thing. That's the whole idea behind this. So I'm going to give everybody a little pass today on the show this morning because, I think everybody has their little thing with the product. And that's okay. We don't tell anybody. You know, this is a secret. This is a secret out there. So
yeah,
I think
we
it
try
is
to keep it a secret, but
we try, right? We try.
Yeah, we try.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, how do you identify? Can you identify if there's a product junkie in your chair as a client?
Well, a lot of product junkies are usually the at-home stylist.
Ooh,
and, right, so they're on, you know, these big online shopping. They're buying all this stuff. They're home, and I say fixing on. You know, they're home fixing on their hair. They're, you know, it could be burning it up, coloring in it, you know, just doing all sorts of stuff.
Right, right.
And then they come and they need a repair. So what I've learned to do is ask them or tell them, hey, bring in what you're using at home.
Mm.
So it doesn't sound aggressive, but I want to see what you got. And I need you to understand that you're probably working against the work that I'm doing in this chair.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, especially the clients who are home curling their hair, who never want to admit it, but they keep getting the products like heat treatment or heat protectant or moisturize, something that's going to protect their hair from curling it. But they still have the thing turned up to 500 degrees, so they burn the hell out of it anyway.
Exactly. And wow, so this is actually very important. You know, and you do have to, you know, and for you guys out there who are, you go visit the salon and you have a hairstylist, please pay attention to the product talk. And kind of dial it back on that. Make sure that you are getting the instruction from the professionals, because it may, maybe today your hair, you know, it might look like it's all right, but, you know, just please, you know, because in time, this kind of thing can really, you know, become, you know, an issue. Raining on in, literally. So what are some of the companies? So because they have, I don't think it is the manufacturer, the company, the product company itself that lends itself to you getting addicted to the product, so to speak, or buying up everything they have. I don't know where that comes from. I really don't. A lot of it can be in the merchandising. I will also admit I love the beautiful bottles. I think I said it earlier. So that's what catches our eye when we see these beautiful products. And we think that it's beautiful inside too. That's true generally, right?
People, you would think that it would be a good product.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think what you were saying earlier, and I think, I don't know if I heard it on this show today, but on terms of getting, you know, doing your research, doing the work, checking into it. So when you do connect with that particular product line, it's something that is going to work for you and work for your texture, and I think that's important.
Right. Yes, so, that is very important.
Right, just don't go overboard. Now, so that's really good. Now, what are some of the tips? Can we think of any tips that we can tell people? I think we have really shed some light on it today. I think that you got to really just, you know, just be mindful, folks. And I think that's the other thing. I think I'd love to hear from you out there.
Yes.
I'd also love to know that maybe in this, you know, at this time, you can actually go through your hidden stash or cache of these products, because we all know where, you know, we all have them where they are stashed, so to speak. And and I think we do need to clean them out, and I really do. I think it is, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year or the you know, at the end of the year or spring cleaning, whatever it is, kind of connote a time and commit to that and then kind of go through and allow yourself. I mean, you know, for the shopaholics, you know, if you're online all the time, maybe
choose, you know, maybe one purchase a month, you know, or two or something like that. Just be mindful of it and limit the, you know, the spending with that. And it may not be so much about money, but just that you don't need all that necessarily.
Right, necessarily. And, you know, I try to encourage my clients to, until you have to turn that bottle over, don't buy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't. You know, it's, unless you see, like, it's the last two bottles in the store, grab those two. But if you're just excessively buying things that you really don't need and that are not performing the way they've promised, stop buying.
That's true. And that's a good point, too, because, you know, you want to bear in mind that some of these products, certain things, and it depends on how, you know, after your hair might get used to certain things, so, and the responsiveness may vary. So, you know, just be a, listen to these folks. Let's listen to Keisha McAllister. So, folks, if you, and the hairstylist, of course, you're pro folk. So if you guys are just tuning in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I am in Brooklyn, New York. Yes, and good morning to you guys out there. I'm with Keisha McAllister, who comes to us, and I love this, all the way from California. Like, you are literally 3,000 miles from me as we broadcast today. So this is really incredible. 3,000 miles away. And I'm always interested up in your area, up in Northern California. Folks know I lived in Southern California. But up there, so the weather is not quite as brutal as it is here, but I know it gets a little chillier up there. So how does that affect? I know we were talking about products, but how you know, when you go to other places, have you noticed that, like, a difference with the temperature because of you guys out in California, or is it just pretty much the same and you don't notice, or you don't notice anything like that where you are? In other words, comparing to travel to different, like, states or different places you've been, because I always thought that California, you know, the temperature might play, the environment might play a part. And, you know, in their style and, you know, how long the styles last and even the look and all of that. So, but maybe I could be wrong about that.
Well, here in, at least in my part of California, right now it's just really, really soggy. But we really don't have a lot of humidity. Although, as a stylist, it's my responsibility to make sure that my client's hair lasts. So I tend to use humidity blocking, you know, things that are going to help their, well, they call it silk press, but that flat iron, we call it flat iron, that flat iron lasts the way it needs to, or to resist, you know, humidity and things like that, moisture, so it don't turn on, so it won't turn on them. But that's just my responsibility. And I'm proud when my client comes back, oh, my hair lasted so-and-so. That's my responsibility. And I need to show her how to wrap her hair so it will keep. That's also my responsibility. It doesn't make sense for her to spend that money with me in 2 days her hair goes back.
Right, that's true. Just,
and it's going to make me look bad. As a hairdresser, that's gonna make me look bad. She can't do no hair, you know, and that's not what you want to hear, right? So that's the way I just prepare my clients for it. It doesn't matter if, you know, if they know it's raining, then you need to wear a hooded jacket and, you know, prepare yourself, and we'll wrap it before you leave out of here. But other than that, I really don't trip on the weather. I'm here to do my job, right? I love it.
Okay, well, as you have figured out, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. Keisha, I'm loving this talk today. I really am. This is what we are here to do. So this is the beginning. And what we will be doing is breaking down some of the product reviews.
which we will start to do right here on the show. So I cannot wait. That's going to be something that we really can sink our teeth into, as they say. So, okay, that's all. Any closing thoughts on our product talk today? So if you find yourself and you guys are a product junkie, just check in with us. Check in with us at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Please do.
Okay. Yes. So, all right, Keisha. So, listen, all right, stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more to get to on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Great job, Keisha McAllister.
Good morning.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have two very special guests joining us today. Well, they're from the world of education. It is my honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel A. Freeman and welcoming for the very first time Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. We are honored to be with you this morning.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Kerry. We love being here and looking forward to our time together.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Dr. Freeman, we're going to kick off with you. You were kind enough to help us kind of launch the Hair Radio Morning Show 5 years ago, literally hundreds of episodes of this broadcast ago. And we're so excited because many of our listeners, you've touched folks around the world with your story. And so we're going to remind everybody about that, but I just wanted to officially welcome you back to the broadcast and how we were able to use that wonderful, wonderful interview as a great foundation for pushing us forward. And we're still here today. I think that's a big part of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm very thrilled at what you're doing and how you've done it, your integrity, your stick-to-itiveness, and it's an inspiration to all of us.
Wonderful. Well, listen, again, welcome to the show. And now I have to turn also to Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. You are from the Rochester, New York area. And you are, when I tell you, I was just blown away at your story when I started to do some research. School superintendent for years, literally office. Yes. So education, to put it mildly, is important. So, Dr. Milton, I have to get in there. What, you know, where did this come from, this whole, you know, this journey that you are on, that you've been on? And this, I'm going to call it a track, I think. You know, so where did this come from in terms of jumping into the education or on the education wagon, I should say?
Well, you know, I had two teachers that impacted my life in ways in which one could never imagine. I had a teacher by the name of Adam Urbanski. he was a gentleman from Poland, and he talked about history. He was one of my high school history teachers, and he taught history in a way that you can only fall in love with. And he talked about the movers and shakers of history, the carriers of information, and how we have to learn to deconstruct things and find ourselves in the whole cloak of history. So he planted a major seed in me. Then I had a science teacher. Her name was Cassandra Frierson. And Cassandra Frierson said that I'm part of a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I was so glad to meet her because I had an experience in elementary school that my teacher attempted to teach Black history, but she started off in slavery. And what happened, it had ushered so much shame and humiliation for me. So that those early years of my life, I was on this quest to find out some truths in history and where I played a role. And Dr. Frierson, or Cassandra Frierson, she said that my past is inexplicably tied to the beginning of time. And so as a result of those two individuals, I went into education, became a teacher, a principal, and then a school superintendent, and decided to step down and start my own company. And then it happened again. And when it happened this time, I said, I'm going to take action. When this whole quest and this desire and this love and passion for history came out, I said, I'm going to do something about it. So Joel Freeman was the first person that I've called. Joel has been a close friend of mine for many years, and I know that he is the curator of many African-American artifacts. And I said, Joel, would you go on this journey with me, man? And he didn't hesitate. Here we are, 2.5, almost 3 years later, with a final product, a finished product, rather. And our goal is to share our love letter to the world. I mean, this is our divine purpose and our mission as to why we exist.
And that is the reason that you guys are here today. And that is to introduce us to this amazing new book. And I'm going to have to thank you, Dr. Milton, for that. I'm going to have to turn now to Dr. Freeman. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, first of all, again, welcome to the show. And just want to say we are going to turn to you to talk about this amazing new book. We want to make sure and get that on out there, Black History, An Inclusive Account of American History. Tell us about this book.
Yes, as Dr. Milton mentioned, it's a labor of love. It's 1,248 pages, weighs 5.5 pounds, has well over 2,500 images throughout, and about 500 of those images come straight from the collection my wife and I own. We own over 3,000 items, documents, and artifacts. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. And so we have put together, Walter and I, as he mentioned, we worked for about 2.5 years, putting in 12, 16-hour days and working. I'm telling you, it was just like Groundhog Day every day, just working at it and then going to sleep and working some more the next day and just day after day. So it was just both of us look at it right now and just go, we don't even know how it happened, except God's fingerprints are all over it. And we started in ancient Africa. And the reason why we started in ancient Africa is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that slavery was the beginning of Black history. We wanted to talk about the mores, the folkways, the hunting, the gathering, the fishing, the industry, the agriculture, the ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. And now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries. And even when we get into slavery and the slave trade, we have a whole section just about slave rebellions. We talk about the trickery used. And we have actual stories of how people were tricked into coming on the ship. and or to be kidnapped to get on the ship. So it we wanted to give a whole different view about this that is not normally given, at least that we could find. And then there's a gentle timeline that takes us all the way through to the struggle for civil rights. We then, once we have included that, then we get into the whole area of the economic system. We talk about arts, entertainment. We have a section on sports, black quarterbacks, the integration of the NBA. And then we have a whole section on 50 states. And it's where we provide some insights into black history in each state. So whatever state a listener is from, there will be some specific just a showcasing of what has happened in their particular state. Then the final unit is all about the North Star. It's over 100 pages where we have a timeline from 1491 on that describes all that happened, their interaction between United States and Canada. And then we tell stories, we share stories from mid-1800s from a book called Refugees that a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew went north, and he interviewed a lot of people, and then he put 114 stories, their life stories, into the book. And so in our textbook, we start in Vancouver all the way over to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and everything in between. The Don Settlement with Josiah Henson, and so on and so forth. So it's really a wonderful way to show how people from the South, many suffered from Stockholm Syndrome, many just, you know, just the whole, how does a person leave not knowing where they're going to be going, and if they're going to get caught and maybe get killed or, you know, get chastised in a horrific ways. And then the fugitive slave laws pushing them into Canada. So we really, Walter and I have put together a book that the response we've been getting from around the country has truly been heartwarming, and we are very grateful to be the instruments used to be able to help put this together. And, of course, as we've expanded after the writing was done, our wives are very much a part of this project, and we're grateful to them. And then more people came on that helped with curriculum design, with search engine optimization, media relations, professional development, and many other aspects that helped to, we now have a team of over 75 people that have helped to bring this to bear.
Well, I'm going to say, I think you have at least 76. I'm on board, too. Make sure and add me on
okay.
in to that list. I saw that extensive list on your site. I was, at bh365.org. I was quite impressed. Listen, I want to make sure I get the title right. I don't. I think I just introduced it as Black History, but it's actually Black History 365, an inclusive
correct.
Account of American history. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, we landed on 365 because many times people view Black History Month as the main time to talk about Black history. But we decided that this is something that is an inclusive account of American history. That's the subtitle. And we also quote from a gentleman on the back cover. He's a quote on the back cover. His name is James Baldwin. He said, "American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it." And that's really, when Walter and I saw that quote, we just said, that's got to be on the cover. It's because that encapsulates what we have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to say, as a matter of fact, Dr. Milton, I was going to ask you, being, an educator as you are,
you know, and being out in the school system, how did that play a part? Because I'm, you know, I just imagine that you were close, you know, you were real, you know, you had a real front row seat to what the kids needed, you know, to what the students needed to learn. So I'm going to ask you, how did that play a part, or did it play a part in how you kind of, you know, decided to come up with this idea that you guys have, you know, worked on?
Well, it played a major part. What I saw in my years of education and what I still see now in working with school systems across the country is that there's a direct correlation with the lack of culturally competent instruction and educational approaches to the negative impact that has on student achievement. We also discovered that the lack of historical content has been a significant influencer of negative outcomes for Black students and communities, including lack of self-awareness, lack of self-esteem, lack of intrinsic motivation, decreased academic achievement, truancy, discipline referrals, and even in some cases some criminal activity. Because what we found when our young people, not only Black children but all children, when they have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, and the impact that their ancestors have made on this world, it just increases all the negative things to turn right into the positives because we make that connection. And so what we found and discovered that the world, particularly America, is begging for something like this because of the past, our history that we have and how those things still impact us to this day. So we wanted to really look at those things. We really wanted to look at the whole impact of the incarceration system and how that connected to education. And what we found is that there's this critical gap. And we believe that we have a solution for this gap. One of the things that we really focus on, and Joe will probably talk about that a little later, I'll just introduce the concept, but we said we need to develop critical thinkers, compassionate listeners, fact-based, respectful communicators, and action-oriented solutions. And we believe that BH365 will serve as an impetus to make that happen and to make our world a better place here in America and to bring about a great deal of healing because we clarify things and misconceptions that we've been operating on for many years.
Just, I'm blown away. And I have to say, Dr. Milton, and I was really touched, and I know we're here. We're going to absolutely get into every single aspect of Black History 365, you guys' new book, which is being used in the schools. But I have to draw some attention to when I came across one of your earlier books that talked about this. The title is A Matter of Life or Death, Why Black Men Must Save Black Boys in America's Public Schools. And I know you've written a couple of books, but that was, I read a little bit of the synopsis, and I was just very impressed. So thank you for all the work that you are doing, that both of you are doing on this incredible, incredible topic that, believe me, even, you know, I could put this on every day, you know, for years, and it would still just be scraping the surface of what needs to be done, but it's a wonderful thing to do as much research, and you guys can hear it. You've done a lot of research. I see the work, and it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So thank you both for that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, well, very much welcome. Well, listen, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's my pleasure to welcome these two incredible educators to Hair Radio. And Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's been with us before. We're so excited to welcome him back. It's been 5 years. And he's joined, of course, or we're joined with Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., who we're also excited, a New Yorker, a fellow New Yorker, to the broadcast. And now, Dr. Freeman, you're in Maryland area, correct? Aren't you still out in Maryland?
Yes, not far from Annapolis.
Okay. And so we have a lot to talk about, because just trying to catch everybody up a little bit, and then I have some more questions for you, Dr. Milton. But just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Dr. Freeman, I recall that you started off early on, and you were a chaplain for, wasn't it the NBA? And you did all these amazing things and just had such I think it was, well, what seemed on that interview, just a deep understanding for folks at an early age. And that's what I got from that. And I was just quite impressed and went on to create that whole space with all these artifacts that you have that chronicle the lives of folks all the way to Africa and here. And so I'm just very impressed and, you know, just happy to have you here. So what can you tell us about your collection these days? Anything? Of course, we've got your book, which is going to be a big part of that, Black History 365. But what else can you tell us about the collection that you have amassed all of this? And I know you have pictures inside the book, inside of Black History 365.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big part of the book and a big part of, I think, the contribution, because it's exclusively available to the book. The images, there's now over 4,000 high-resolution images.
Amazing.
And anyone who tries to put together something like this without images, it's just very difficult. And what people, when we went to the printers in Ohio who manufactured this book, one of the young men, I don't know how long he'd been working there, but maybe a decade or two or close, 15 years maybe. And we were just talking with him, and he says, yeah, he says, when I came in this morning, I thought I was working on a National Geographic project. and so the collection is made up of over 3,000 items. We've done two exhibits at the United Nations. We had over 1 million visitors. I've done three in concert with the White House. I've done two at the Clinton Presidential Library. I've done a number with Secret Service at their headquarters in D.C. and a number of other venues around the country. And it's just been wonderful. And when Walter called me about this project, I didn't have to think about it, because I knew intuitively that I had been building this collection, and it's perfect for a curriculum in terms of the types of items. I would pass over 200 items to get to that 201st item that would help tell the story. And so I was very selective about the items that I collected and brought together. So it's kind of a unique type of collection, and I think when people get the textbook and they start looking at the images, especially the first two units, because the first two units are about ancient Africa and slavery and the slave trade. So I have a number of items. For instance, I have one item when I was in Elmina Castle in Ghana on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And I met with the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set of shackles, an actual set of shackles from Elmina Castle. And I was truly humbled and honored by that, because I don't think they did that very often.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of stories behind many of the pieces of the collection. Just had over 75 given to me, and had to acquire a lot of things myself, but this gentleman, his father, worked for TWA Airlines.
Well, so did I. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, small world.
So he was responsible for all the continent of Africa back in the 40s and I think 50s, right in that range. And he had, working in the airline and into Africa, he had many people sourcing original artifacts. We're not talking about stuff for tourists. I mean, original, like doors on a chief's hut, and shackles and masks and figurines and all sorts of items. Well, his dad passed away. Of course, his dad, working at the airline, could ship it back to California.
Sure.
And when he passed away, my friend told me, he said, I'm going to make sure that there's a number of these that are in your collection. He had this sense of urgency, and my friend Pat passed away about 3 months ago, he had this urgency to get these items to me, and he wasn't even sick. You know, just had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. And so I feel very honored, and am holding those items very carefully, and we have some of them pictured in the textbook in honor of him and his family.
Wow, that's very nice. I have to say, just when I look at this amazing book, Black History 365, and you mentioned 1,248 pages, I have to wonder about the schools. Like, how have the folks received this book, the textbook? Dr. Milton, let's ask you that. How has it been received by the teachers and the students, for that much?
They have received the book extremely well. Many of them are not only saying that this is for 9th through 12th grade students, many of them are saying this engages all ages. This should be a book that's in every household across this country, in particular, and in general across the world, because it had so many features. It really does. Also, Morehouse College down in Atlanta is going to be one of the first colleges launching the textbook in January. We are also in a conversation with Hampton University in Virginia that's going to do that. And then we have had a number of people who have purchased personal copies of the textbook. So we believe that it has this book throughout the pages. It's a healing mechanism. I just want to quickly go back, if you can indulge me for a quick second,
sure.
To talk about these images. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with Joel, but it was an extremely tedious task to find the images. And he, like he said, he would go through 200 images just to get to that 201 to say, hey, this is it here. I mean, it wasn't anything that was easily done. I mean, it was arduous and it was daunting. And in some cases, I saw and felt the pain that he went through just to make sure that it was beyond excellent, because the images not only tell a story, the images bring the words alive of that book.
Wow. I'm blown away. I love as you respond to this, and you're just painting an amazing picture of Black History 365. Now, how do folks find this book, Dr. Milton? How do folks get their hands on a personal copy or an edition for, you know, like you said, it should be in every household?
Absolutely. Well, we're asking the world to go to bh365.org. That's bh365.org. And one of the major features that we have in the book, besides the many QR codes, because we wanted to have a strong integration of technology, we've also embedded music in the book from award-winning Grammy producer by the name of Dr. Kevin Cates, affectionately known as Kale. And Kale has developed 40 songs. He's a producer for Jay-Z, T.I., Rick Ross, Drake, Snoop Dogg, and a host of others. So we have an expert who has put together amazing songs, and he got the words from the text, and they are just powerful. I mean, they will bring tears to your eyes.
Is this kind of like a soundtrack for the book?
Yes, you can definitely say that. And as Joel said, we have a Hamilton in the making.
I see.
Yeah,
wow.
I call it an anthology of Black history, because basically we've done is, you know, he's doing a song for each chapter, lifting lyrics from the text itself and the concepts surrounding the text. And so you start in ancient Africa and bring it all the way up to George Floyd, you know, some of the things that are happening in our culture today. It's like ripping pages out of the headlines, the way we've done it. And then we have an e-book version that is available, and so that will allow us to even add more items, you know, as things happen in our culture, so that we can continue to keep it updated and in the e-book version.
And that's important, right, always to make sure that, you know, I keep going back to, I forget whose book it was, but I like that word living, like it, living history. It just keeps on going, and I love that. I have to tell you, this is just amazing. We're talking with the authors of this amazing book, the folks behind Black History 365, this amazing, incredible book. We're talking with Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. So we're real excited to have them with us today. 1,248 pages. This is a huge book, but it is packed with so much information and knowledge that we need. And I can't say it enough. I really can't. I think this is a game changer out there. Dr. Freeman, why was this so necessary, though? Well, you know, there are tons of books. Folks will say, you know, I saw the books that were out there when I was in school, and those history books seem just fine. What do you say to folks who say something like that, Dr. Freeman?
Well, every time there is a racially charged incident in America, there are some very smart people, passionate people who get on TV. You know, we affectionately call them talking heads.
Right.
And you can almost, if you're running a betting game, you could bet that someone's going to say, in so many words, we need to have a national conversation around the topic of race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, perhaps that same person will be saying the same thing. And, you know, people protest in different ways. We have comedians who use comedy expertly to protest. Some write books. Some will write poetry. We remember the protest songs of the 60s and the protesting in rap music and hip-hop music. And some protest by demonstrating, marching. The way Walter and I protest is by putting in the 2.5 years, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution to the education gap in America. Our protest is we look at it in terms of solutionist approach, so that we can start these conversations. So we have something in the textbook that is proprietary to BH365, is we have something called the Elephant Experience. Now, the Elephant Experience, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the Elephant Experience, but it's the whole idea of, okay, we have these topics that people don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. And topics that cause some people to talk at or past each other. Some people block each other on Facebook or other types of social media. And so what Walter and I wanted to do is to come up with a process. 'Cause why an elephant? You know, connection with Africa. Hey, there's an elephant in the room. Probably your favorite joke in second grade was, hey, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time. One bite at a time. So there has to be a process, a schema, a methodology for dealing with the elephant. And then, of course, the hippocampus of an elephant is extremely large, and their EQ matches and rivals that of chimpanzees and some species of dolphins. So it has to be something that's sticky, something that is that engages, not just momentarily, but for the long term. So that's what we did. So topics such as 3/5 of a human being, Uncle Tom, the N-word, reparations, are we in a post-racial society after having a black president for 2 terms? Can a white person ever truly understand the black experience in America? Scientific racism, lynching. And should we tear the statues down? Things like that, topics like that we have a certain process that is a healing process, not a divisive process, where students can where we have professional development trainers that train the teachers in setting the environment so the students can create an environment that allows for these topics to be dealt with in a way that is beneficial. And where there is a binary choice, we have QR codes that provide the pro and the con, you know, the for and against views. And so it invites people outside of their confirmation bias bubbles and gets them into a realm where they begin to see the other side, and or at least hear the other side. And then using the Socratic method, the students engage around it and come up with individual or perhaps even collective understanding about something. So to get back to your original question, the need for something like this and the response we're getting from principals, from educators, from superintendents, from people who have, historians. I was talking with a historian the other day, and he was saying he's up to page 500 already.
Oh, wow.
In the textbook.
Wow.
And he was saying that he was just delighted. He said, oh, my goodness. He's checking out the QR codes. He's engaging with it. And he just said, I just cannot believe a resource like this is finally available. This is what I've been talking about all my life, and a resource like this.
Absolutely.
So, when it comes to the distinctives, we believe that we have something that is very uniquely crafted. It's designed for healing. It's truth-centric. It has the music attached to it. It has QR codes, so it's engaging with technology. We start in ancient Africa, so we're not reinforcing implicitly or explicitly the notion that Black history started slavery. So we bring all these elements together that we've discussed, and we brought it into one textbook. Now, we're also planning to create a K through 8, so K2, 3, 5, 6, 8 grade bands. Those are coming, and we're using the 9 through 12 textbook, which, by the way, engages all ages. We're using that backbone information to then be contextualized in the 6 through 8, 3 through 5, and K through 2 program. So now, getting back to how I started this response, now we're starting to get people to kids to start talking about the tough topics in a contextualized manner from kindergarten on. And hopefully we'll be able to measure results with the students, the teachers, and perhaps even the parents. And, 3 years from now, 5 years, 12 years from now, to see what kind of impact this can have on our society that is so polarized politically. And to really get people to engage coming through the lens and the gateway of history, which an inclusive account of a history, so that we can somehow see healing happen in our country.
I totally agree. I was thinking as you were just explaining that, I'm thinking to myself as well, that's the thing. We are all, when we look back at how when we were in school and taught history, and it really does, I hate to say, but it really, that's kind of where what you get is, for Black history, anything that's relating to Black culture is usually starting with slavery. And so I so appreciate what you have just described in Black History 365. I so appreciate it because just to be able to connect back to Africa and just see a place in, folks of Black descent, just African descent rather, just figure into everything. So it's amazing to me. And I have I'm kind of blown away just to talk to you about it. So I'm excited for folks to get their hands on Black History 365. It is important. It's an important book. So So what else is there out there? You and Dr. Bilton, as you mentioned, there is music involved in all of this as well. Can I get my hands on some of this so I can play some of those songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show? We'd love to get some of those music files over here.
Well, it's awesome. It's probably the music is so good, and I can't wait till you hear it. And I think that Joe and I could send you a demo copy for your
Absolutely.
Ears only.
Okay.
Because it's going through the process of being produced and recorded, and so we're going through all the legal aspects of that. But
so
in the meantime,
we
can give you something that you could look forward to coming out. And I think that we would love to have you once we get the green light to play it on your show, because it's going to be a Grammy award producing. Set of music, and I give all the accolades to God first, but I give them to K.O., who was used by God to do this, to do this work. I mean, the music is incredible, and as the kids say, it is highly dope. So,
awesome.
So I think that, you're going to love it. You really are, and, you know, Joel and I are just so honored that you allowed us to be here today to share this one of the most passionate things in our lives, you know, Black history. And Joel talked about us being utilized as a vessel. You know, we had many moments that we worked throughout the day, and we'll talk, you know, how do we get here? How do we do this? Where did this come from? And we just know that this was all divinely inspired. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I'm going to just before we close out on this part today, I definitely want to just make sure everybody is aware of, again, how to get their hands on Black History 365, your website. Please give us that again. Dr. Freeman, Dr. Milton, please tell everybody how to get their hands on this amazing book.
Yes, BH365.org. BH365.org.
Okay, and that is just awesome. And we're real happy about that. Yes, indeed. And also, just to let everybody know that you guys, this is not the end of Black History 365 on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm so happy and honored that you guys are here. We're announcing right now just an interview arc where we're going to have a few shows at this time, and then we're going to roll out something long-term that kind of can, you know, take parts of this amazing book. We're going to say Black History 365 is the name, and we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth. We wanted to just kind of do a quick introduction, if you will, and talk about some of the things that are inside of this amazing book. And I've got to tell you, we're going to be able to get into some of, before I let you guys go today, we're going to tease this because I want to get your opinion of things that are happening today and how you can tie them to Black History 365, Black History 365, and I know that you can. We're going to have that a little later for you guys, or we'll put it on our website as well. So that's just a nice little tidbit that we'll get into a little later. But first, again, I want to thank you. Before we go, Dr. Freeman, why don't we start with you? Is there any last thoughts or anything you want to kind of close out this portion today of our interview? Anything you want to leave us with? Like those amazing sayings that you used to have, used to give us all these wonderful sayings that I always love. Yeah, anything that you want to tell us today?
Well, I think that the main thing I wanted that comes to my mind right now is that this textbook is transcendent. You know, as we say in the subtitle, an inclusive account of American history.
Inclusive.
And so the whole idea of the term inclusive, I want everyone who's listening to realize that this is an opportunity to engage all ethnicities and ages, you know, in terms of young and older generations, different backgrounds. Some are more, come from more urban areas, and some come from more rural areas. Socioeconomic aspects. We've tried to include everything. Plus, when it comes to STEAM or STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and I like to put in arts, and then M for mathematics. We've provided different
STEAM
aspects. Sorry?
No, I was saying yours is STEAM, not just STEM.
Yeah.
STEAM, like that.
That's right, STEAM. There's STEM and STEAM, and I prefer STEAM. But it's so if people are looking for this to engage on all aspects, you know, we have some very interesting topics. I was talking with someone just recently, and she was saying that she says, "Well, I'm an educator," and she said, my response to this once I started looking at it is, I don't really know that much," and we don't want that to be the takeaway. But we want it to be the incentive that when people approach this topic, you know, and we talk about the Great Migration to the north and then to the west, you know, that in all the different topics, the Harlem Renaissance, and we even have a whole section in there, Carrie, that I think you'll love, is what about taking back the hair care and beauty industry?
Well, that's coming up in our next segment.
We have a whole section
on
that.
I thought I'd
spring
that on you a little later. Yes.
So that's on my mind. That's all. It's the inclusive nature of the textbook. Walter?
Textbook.
Well, I just wanted to say we didn't have an opportunity to talk about our advisory board, but hopefully we can do that next time we come back on. We have incredible people like Kathy Hughes, Benjamin Crump.
All my favorite folks. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Agabriar Bryson, the grandson great grandnephew of Annie Malone.
Yeah,
you'll know
yeah.
Annie Malone. Joel has done a lot of extensive work regarding her and a host of other wonderful people. But I want to leave with celebrating you, Carrie, because I know that you bring so many people, you give so many accolades, you know, through your work. But I want to give you an accolade, you know, just my short time of knowing you and hearing you and hearing about you and researching you as well, you are truly a merchant of hope. You carry hope for so many people's lives, you know, and I can hear that hope in your voice, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I just want to wish you the best always.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. It means a lot. I appreciate that. And I have to tell you, when I hear those names and you know, Kathy Hughes, she's been my, you know, starting out in radio and being one of my favorite folks in radio. And back when I didn't see many folks who are African-American doing that and just being such a big forerunner out there, I'm just blown away. And Benjamin Crump has been on my show. He's been on our broadcast just like you guys. And so I had a chance to chat with him, of course. And even Akbar, I think the gentleman, I've chatted with him as well. So, and Annie Malone, all of this comes full circle. So I just have to say I'm blown away. And again, I want to thank you guys personally. This book is important, Black History 365. The website is bh365.org. You need to get a copy of this book. And we're going to make sure that you do that. And if you need to be put in touch, and I got to say this last thing, Dr. Freeman, I have to say, I had told everybody, I'd put it out on Facebook that you were coming back to the show, and I posted all this about Black History 365, the book and the picture and all of that. And my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, who the listeners out there know, he's been with us many times, he's a trained economist and all of this, he's deep in history, studying all of this, and he rarely, you know, pipes up to ask me about anything. You know, he sees my radio show, you know, guests from time to time. This was the only time he said, "You must introduce me to Dr. Freeman." He didn't know about you at that time, Dr. Milburn.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And I said, I kid you not. He said to make sure. So I said, well, when I speak with you, I'm going to get your permission, but I'm going to introduce him to you guys. Because I think that he's Dr. Leroy Hines, he's been out there, and as I said, the listeners know, he always comes on and gives us all kind of, you know, in terms of current affairs and all that wonderful good stuff. But I have to say, I think he's definitely, you guys, definitely going to have a great time.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentation. It's a great honor to get your day started in the most informative and entertaining way possible, and we at Hair Radio take that task very seriously. I'm Ophelia, one of the newest additions to the lineup at the Hair Radio Morning Show. First, let's thank our incredible advertisers, beginning with our legacy sponsors: Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Divine Energy Luxury Candles, Carapy.com, Salon TV Network, the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book I show host, Carrie Hines, celebrating over 10 years in release. Get an updated version today on Amazon. Be a guest on air or join the Hair Radio Morning Show for a panel discussion that's all about hair, beauty, and community, and be heard next door and all over America and these exciting places: the Caribbean, Canada, Europe, South America, Australia, Asia, and across the incredible continent of Africa. We are also grateful to our entire advertising family. Find out how you can introduce your products and